It's always nerve-wracking getting up here. You know, speaking in front of an audience is not easy. But speaking in melody and tune, like he did, is even harder. That's performance. He did a great job. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, help me, Lord, speak your words. Help your thoughts and not my thoughts be conveyed. Help us just open our hearts and our minds to you and your word, Lord. Let that powerful word just hit us deep in our soul. Let us go home with some changed attitudes. And hopefully, Lord, somebody today might be saved. In your name we pray. So what do you think are the three hardest words to say? Now, if some of you might have seen the commercial, you probably know. My wife guessed it. I thought it would be like, I love you. But no, the three hardest words to say is, I'm sorry. I'm already drinking water. We're in trouble. I'm sorry. And what's even harder to do is wait for that I'm sorry to forgive somebody. Today's topic is forgiveness. It's not an easy topic. It's a hard topic. Hard one for me. Long before Ado asked me to share or to speak, the Lord put this message in my heart. He's been working on me. He's working on me today. Maybe he'll work on you today, too. You know, forgiveness is a popular topic. I mean, other have spoken on it. It's not a new topic. It's the most important topic, I think. It's subject of the cross. It's why I'm here. It's why you're here. I hear there's a young future pastor going to seminary school coming to see us today. And you know, it's a story of a seminary fresh graduate doing his sermon on forgiveness. And like any new pastor, he wanted to make sure the audience was listening, not falling asleep. So he asked for some participation. After about a third way through this sermon on forgiveness, he asked those to raise their hands if they can now forgive their enemies. Yeah, about a third of the audience raised their hands. So he kept going. About halfway through the sermon, he asked the same question. How many of you now can forgive your enemies? About half raised their hands. He gave a great sermon. At the end, he asked one last time, okay, now, how many of you can forgive your enemies? Everybody raised their hand except for one little old lady. Couldn't believe it. He looked at her and said, ma'am, how is it that you cannot forgive your enemies? She said, well, it's simple. I have no enemies. You have no enemies. How old are you? 96. At 96, you have no enemies. She goes, come on over here. Please share with us. She slowly comes up to the altar. He says, how is it you do that at 96 and you have no enemies? She said, it's quite simple. I outlived them all. Let's not wait till I outlive them all before we forgive them. Today is a parable. Parable of the unforgiven servant. The text is Matthew 18, 21 through 35. It's a long one. I know I speak fast. I always remind myself to speak slowly. So I try to get through it. Because the power is in the word. It's not what I say. It's what the book says. And I don't want to rush through it. But I know I have a limited time. So let's see what we can do today. My goal is to share with you how the Bible talks about how we should forgive. I want to share with you how the Bible talks about why we should forgive. And I want to share with you how the Bible tells us when we should forgive. How many of us have been wronged, hurt? How many of us have been unjustly treated, unfairly treated? You know, just even hearing yesterday some of the testimony of how Sylvia changed many lives. You can tell there's many of us here that were, in the past, had issues, had problems, whether it be losing a family, being divorced, being abandoned, being fatherless. There's so many of us that came here with so many different issues. Have you ever said, I'll forgive, but I won't forget? I have. Before Christ, I did that a lot. Before Christ, I couldn't even forgive. How many of us say we'll forgive, but deep down inside, we don't forget? You know, holidays are approaching. I can't believe it's Harvest Fest coming up. Next month is Thanksgiving, then it's Christmas. What's that mean? Relatives. I don't know about you, but my relatives are not perfect. So let's read his word. The parable of the unmerciful servant. Matthew. We'll start with Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Now, why did he say seven? In Mosaic law, if you forgave somebody three times, that was a big deal. You're looking pretty good. Peter more than doubled it. He said, what about seven? He probably thought he was doing pretty good. Let's see what Jesus says. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, which is, what, 490? It's a lot. Jesus answered, I'll tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, that's a lot of money, was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. And it was a debt that he couldn't pay anyways. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants. He owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me. You should have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you. In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. It's part of the hardest part right there, from your heart. All right, let's dive in. So first of all, how does Christ expect us to forgive? Well, a quick glance at Luke 23:24 says, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hebrews 10:17 says, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. All right, you all heard those before. You know, and I always thought to myself, how can God forget anything? Isn't he omniscient? Of course he is. As a matter of fact, there's nothing you can tell God he doesn't already know. As Dina said before, he's pretty good at being God. There's nothing he needs to learn. Nothing you're going to tell him to surprise him. And because he knows everything, it's not like he forgets. You see, in Greek, there's different definitions. In every language there is. You may know I speak Spanish, my first language. And I remember as a kid, my mom and stepdad, you know, spoke different languages. My mom barely any English, my dad no Spanish, and yet they'd communicate. And there were times when my mom would say something and it just wasn't coming across. I knew what she meant, he didn't. And vice versa. Languages just don't always translate. In the Greek language, one of the many meanings is that he no longer holds it against us. He won't bring it up again like we do, right? I mean, how many times, maybe not you, but I know it's happened to me, where I say, I'm going to forgive you. And then maybe a month later, well, remember that time? I'm going to forget all about it. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, what about that? What if this happens again? What about this? God doesn't remind me. He doesn't want me to remember. Who's reminding me? Who comes back and reminds us of our sin? That's right, the devil does. He wants to come right back to it. God got rid of it as far as the east is from the west. He won't bring it up because he's perfect. Unlike us, it might be hard for us not to bring it up, but he can, and he won't. Why does the devil want to remind us of our sin? He wants to define us by our sin, doesn't he? He wants you to see yourself as a divorcee, as a victim, as a fatherless child. I was not raised by a father. I had no dad. Many of you guys have no mom, no dad. Some are adopted. Some are angry for other reasons. For a long time, I was angry at my dad. I didn't see him since I was like 3 or 4. Left my mom with 3 kids, no English. Came here to this country. She had to study the language to pass her citizenship, which they ask you questions there that most of us couldn't answer. Learned the language, passed the exam, became a citizen, as my uncle did. First thing he did is enlist in the military because she was going to die for this country. Because you see, when you become a citizen, you will die for your country if you're a real citizen. We're all citizens of heaven, aren't we? We're citizens of God. So how to forgive? Forgive and don't remember. Why forgive? Why forgive? Well, for one thing, I just said, because you don't want to define yourself of that unforgiveness. I mean, think about it. Some of us are erased or abandoned for years. I define myself as being raised by just my mom, as having no father. That's who I thought I was. Until I found my heavenly father who set me straight and said, no, I'm your dad. You're not abandoned. You're not forsaken. You're not a fatherless child. You're not a divorcee. You are my child. Don't let the devil define you by your unforgiveness. Matthew 6:14-15 says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a scary verse. That's not me saying it. That's the Bible saying it. I remember one of my aunts, I hope to see her someday, she believed in Christ. And remember when I was young, one of the things she told me was, because she wouldn't go to church, I'd be like, why don't you go to church? She goes, oh, because I haven't forgiven somebody. I says, so? She says, unless I forgive somebody, I can't go to church. I thought that was nuts. That was crazy. But it turns out there's some biblical sense to that. She knew that without her forgiving her brother or whoever that relative was at the time, that she had no place in church. If you want forgiveness, then forgive others. You know, forgiveness is not just. It doesn't mean that by forgiving somebody, you let them off the hook. As a matter of fact, you could very well forgive somebody and turn them into the authorities. It's not that you are letting them off the hook. It is not your vengeance to have. It is the Lord's. As Louis Giglio says, you don't let them off the hook. You're putting them on a God's hook. But you forgive them. It's biblical. You also get rid of resentment and hatred. Instead of saying, I'll never be like my father who abandoned me. I'll never be like my ex. I'll never be like this person or that person. You can say, I'm going to be like my heavenly father. I am loved. I'm a child of heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm not a victim. You see, the problem with society right now is we have lack of forgiveness in all kinds of places, right? We have lack of forgiveness in relationships and marriages. We have lack of forgiveness at work. We can't forgive establishments. People are mad at churches. People are mad at the government, at the schools. I mean, look at all the protesting that goes on. You know, Christ doesn't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, white, black. He doesn't care. You know who helped him carry the cross as he was walking to his death? The Good Samaritan. We don't even know his name, but he was black. Our Lord was not white, he was brown. Christianity is a religion for all people, all races, all ethnicities, everybody. Don't be mad at the establishment. Don't be mad at that church that might have done you wrong 20 years ago. Forgive. Louis Giglio says, power of forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door which opens our door, not theirs. He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass. For every man has need to be forgiven. That's by Charles Herbert. Is there anybody you haven't forgiven? Is there anybody that maybe you're waiting to forgive? Or you're waiting to hear the words, I am sorry? You might not hear them. You might never hear them. So when do we forgive? When should we forgive? You know, the Bible says not to go to bed. You know, my wife and I make sure that we try not to go to bed without reconciling, right? In a marriage, you want to reconcile right away. I mean, how many times does the devil throw darts at your marriage or your relationship or your mom and dad? Whatever relationship you have, friends, fellow brothers and sisters. I mean, there's times when we know each other, right? And there's times when the devil throws those darts. And before you know it, you're like, oh, what was that? Oh, let me jab you back. I'm going to jab you back with this. And before you know it, you know, somebody gives you a little bad remark and you kind of feel like you have to, well, you know, if you didn't say this, I wouldn't have done that. I mean, it's ridiculous, but the devil gets us with little jabs. You don't have to. You can just instant forgiveness. Instant forgiveness. I had an aunt. It's funny how kids remember certain things, but I have an aunt who I remember her by her unforgiveness. It's really weird because she was very well off in Mexico, Tijuana. She had multiple restaurants. She lived in a mansion. She had maids. And I mean, she was a big deal. My uncle went off and opened a coffee place. Big deal. I didn't remember her as that when I was a kid. I remember her for one thing. She wouldn't forgive her son. You don't want to be remembered by that. And what's really odd is that her son, she was mad because she was going to marry somebody she didn't agree with. She didn't show up to their wedding. And here's what's really interesting. Her other kids, every one of them went through a divorce, except for the one that she didn't go to the wedding. About 20 years later, they reconciled. And that daughter-in-law of hers was the one who took care of her when she was getting older. Like the daughter she never had. She reconciled 20 years later. Don't wait 20 years. Think of all the time they could have had together. Don't wait. Romans 5:8. It was touched upon earlier today by a brother. That while we were still in our transgressions, he forgave us. Is that crazy? Is that amazing? He didn't wait for me to say, okay, I'm sorry. No. He died on the cross first for the joy that was set before him. Because you see, because he knows everything, he knew someday we'd come to Christ. As a matter of fact, there might be somebody here today or watching online who might come to Christ today. He already knows that. I've been practicing what I call instant forgiveness. My young self, somebody who cut me off the road, not good. I'd probably be hitting that horn, tailgating them. I was an idiot. I mean, I'm lucky to be alive. When I was a kid, I'd do crazy things with my car. It's amazing how that car really is like, it's a weapon. And so many people just lose it with it. Somebody cuts me off, instant forgiveness. Okay? You must have something really bad going on. I get a snide remark from somebody. Not that my wife would ever do that. But if she did, instant forgiveness. Instead of trying to give her a nice little jab left, jab right, give her the same response, forgive. Forgive and forget. Don't hold it against them. Don't bring it up. So how does God want us to forgive? Should we wait 20 years? Let's see what the Bible says. Matthew 5, 23, 24. Another scary verse for me, to be honest with you. This is what my aunt was talking about. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Is that crazy? God says, take your money, take your gift, take your offering. I don't want to even hear or see it till you reconcile. My aunt was right. She didn't want to go take communion until she reconciled. Is there somebody that comes to mind that you need to forgive? You don't even have to know them. Who do you still need to forgive? I know I'm running out of time. But let me ask you a more important question. When did you find ultimate forgiveness? When did you come to Christ? When did you know that God forgave all your sins, past, present, and future? When did you find your ultimate forgiveness in Christ? I remember when I did. I was still mad at my dad. I had a good mortgage business going at the time. I heard that one of my sponsors was going to Mexico, Nicaragua, and El Salvador. And he invited me. And I said, you know what? I said, I always wanted to go find that guy. Maybe I'll go. And there was also, not because I was generous, but because I needed a tax write-off. There was also a school that was donating mine to that supposedly was in Nicaragua, but I didn't really know. So I said, maybe I'll go see if it's real, make sure my money's going to the right place. So I said, I'll go to Nicaragua. Let me go find this guy. My younger brother hates him, wants to kill him. My older brother is indifferent, which is worse. I was just kind of curious. I wasn't sure what I was going to say. Probably was going to give him a piece of my mind, tell him how much my mom suffered. I don't know. See, when I went to Nicaragua, though, I had an appointment with Christ. I didn't know it. Because years before, God said, you know what? I'm going to bring you to me. So when I went to Nicaragua looking for my dad, because I hadn't forgiven him yet, Christ found me. I go to the school that I thought was, let's see where it's going. I had no idea. If this guy should pop up some pictures that I brought up, I go over here in the school of orphans. Oh, these are all panhandling kids. If you ever went to Tijuana or a border, you see them selling chiclets. You see them selling piñatas. You see them selling anything because that's their livelihood. These 5, 6, 7-year-old kids, they're selling. And these are all different little pictures. They did little postcards. Postcards that they got from cardboard from the trash. They'd go and try to sell these or anything. But they didn't try to sell them to me. They had them as gifts for me. I walk into the school. They've got these banners with my name. Like they knew it was coming. Like I was a president or something. I'm like, what in the world? Why? And before I know it, they're all singing Christian songs to me. I'm like, come on, God. I left America because I didn't want to hear about it. My wife was at this church. I was trying to run away from Sylvia. I knew I had to see her when I came back. I mean, you know how Sylvia is. I was trying to pull my wife out of here. I went to Nicaragua, and Lord knew I was coming. He put the most amazing Christian school kids with songs that just touched my heart. I fell apart. When I came back, and Sylvia thought she would have to wrestle me to not take my wife out of here, she spoke to me a few minutes, and she could tell. I just melted in her hands, and I accepted Christ. How could I not? You see, I went to seek vengeance, looking for my earthly dad. Instead, I found my heavenly father. He changed my heart. And what's crazy is I went there, I found a relative who told me that my dad was in Nicaragua, but he went back to the States in Florida. He had his number. And I spoke to him. And I forgave him. Who do you have to forgive today? Is it an ex-wife? Is it an ex-husband? Is it an abandoned parent? Is it a spouse? Who is it? We hit the lottery with forgiveness, didn't we? If you are saved today, you hit the lottery with forgiveness. But if you're not a Christian, if you're not a follower of Christ, you have no idea what I'm talking about. You don't even have forgiveness. How could you forgive? But today could be your day, couldn't it? Today could be your day that if you've never experienced the absolute forgiveness of Christ of all your sins, today could be your day. Let him forgive you. Accept that perfect gift. And you will find yourself forgiving others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for forgiving us. Thank you for making me one of your children, for not abandoning me, for not forsaking me, Lord, for loving me, for hounding me. Lord, we ask that if there's anybody in our hearts that we need to forgive, that you just help us get there, Lord. Change us. Let us redefine ourselves with you. And more importantly, Lord, if there's anybody here who still has not allowed you to forgive them and accepted the beautiful gift of forgiveness, Lord, may today be the day. In your name we pray. Amen.